I'm thankful to be here again. Ask for your prayers, Lord, to bless His Word, that it would be more to us than men's words. That it would have a lasting impact on us, to realize that there are many motivational speakers. We live in a world that seems like it's full of negativity and bad news and oppression, and the world, I believe, is looking for a breath of fresh air. Looking to be able to hear some good news, to be able to hear somebody give something that's uplifting. And so there are motivational speakers, those that would try to motivate to be the better you and the best self. But I believe that's very temporary. I believe the Word of the Lord has a healing salve for us. I'd like to begin in the book of Galatians. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Beginning in the 7th verse. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. My burden this morning is that we faint not. This says here in the 9th verse, let us not be weary. That word weary, of course, it means to be tired, to be worn out. But the word itself, by definition, it means, as I looked it up, to be utterly spiritless, to be lifeless. The very life, the thing that motivates me to go on, it's waned, it's diminished. Let us not be weary. And I believe we live in a time that this is a danger for every one of us, that our determination, our desire is under attack. Our love for the Lord, our determination to go all the way with the Lord. Reminded of a passage in the book of Daniel that said, speaking of the enemy of God's people, that he would wear out the saints of the Most High. That sounds like to me more than just a direct one-time attack, more than just a strategy or a move that the enemy makes one time to try to overwhelm us. The Scripture says, greater is he that is within us than he that's in the world. The enemy is not able to overcome the grace of God if we maintain that within our lives. Do you know what the enemy will do? The enemy of great patience. The enemy that is willing over the course of time. If he can't get us by overcoming us or right in one battle, the enemy will try to begin wearing us down. To wear down the saints by continual, even a stone can be worn away by continual dripping of water. You know, that's the way the enemy, the way the force of the enemy would try to wear every one of us down, to try to get us to a point that maybe I haven't turned away from the Lord, but I find myself in a place that I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm worn out. Maybe I feel a little bit discouraged. I've started looking around at the things that are going on around us. And folks, if you look at those things, there's cause to be discouraged. If you look around at the condition of the world, you'll get worn out. But I would that the Lord help us this morning that we be not weary, that we not allow these things to weigh us down, not allow these things to begin to affect our desire for the Lord. Let us not be weary in well-doing. I was encouraged with the thought that was brought out this morning of Jesus and the man that stepped forward willing to help bear his cross. Remember a time that Moses needed help? A time whenever Moses and the children of Israel were engaged in the battle, and they found that as long as Moses held his arms up, the battle was won. You know, that seems like an easy enough thing to do. Oh, even I can stand back and hold my arms up. If this is what battle means, I can do this. I can take care of this. But you know what happens? It's not just the first 10 minutes. I found there's a difference between the 1-2 day battles that we face, the sicknesses that we encounter, the things that we go through, and I go into it and I'm determined and I battle that, there's a difference between that and those battles that drag on. Those battles that now I'm a week into it, I'm 2 weeks into it. Now I'm 6 months into it. Lord, where's the end of this thing? It's starting to wear on me now. It's starting, I haven't just laid down and flown the white flag of surrender, but I start to feel within my spirit, I'm getting worn out. I'm getting tired. Moses needed help. Because over the course of time, that day drags on. How long can you hold your arms up? How long? I can handle that for the first 30 minutes, 45 minutes. But then my arms start getting real heavy. I start getting tired. I start getting worn out. And my arms start dropping further and further. And when that happened, it said he saw that the enemy was able to gain an advantage over God's people. So it was imperative. It's important. I got to keep my arms up. Folks, we've got to keep our arms up. We've got to keep going on. We've got to maintain our determination and our resolve. Thank the Lord for our brethren. Thank the Lord. I remember in battle that we went through not long ago with Sister Karen, how many times when we were worn out and tired and wondering when the end of this would be, that somebody would send a card. They'd make a phone call. They'd call when we didn't expect it and say, we've got a burden to come up and help. You know how encouraging it is when you're in the middle of a battle and somebody that's fresh comes in. Somebody that comes in with inspiration to pray and to just sit up and encourage and sing and share scripture, and it's refreshing. It helps pick my spirit up again. Whenever I was getting weary, I was getting worn out, I knew the right thing to do. I knew in my mind that, Lord, you're going to be faithful to us. But I start feeling in my spirit a heaviness. I start feeling a little bit worn out. Thank the Lord that He has a well that we can go to. That He has a place that we can go in the desert places of our life. Whenever I'm tired and I'm dry and I'm hot and I need something to... He is the lifter up of our head. He's able to take us when our head starts hanging a little bit. Whenever we start getting worn out, He's able to take and lift up our heads and keep us encouraged. Winston Churchill said in 1941, in the time of the Battle of Britain, engaged in prolonged bombing campaign of the Nazis against the British, he said, we must learn to be equally good at what is short and sharp as what is long and tough. We must learn how to deal not only with the short battles, not only whenever we're there in full array and with our uniforms crisp and in full formation before the enemy, but we must also learn whenever the battle wears on for months and months and months. You see, it's not just a weariness of the flesh, of the body. It's not just a sheer physical exhaustion. But it starts wearing on my mind, on my emotions, psychological warfare. It was something that by the continual bombing, they were trying to wear out their resolve, trying to wear out their determination to hold out. If we just keep going, time after time after time, when they least expect it, and we drop some more bombs, it starts getting unnerving. When is this ever going to end? And so we saw the posters begin that have really become popular now. Keep calm and carry on. Don't let this thing wear you out. Don't let it change your resolve. Don't let it shift you and cause you to be shaken. But have a constancy throughout this. Keep calm and carry on. Proverbs 24 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Lord, help us to have a strength that will abide. To have a strength not only whenever, remember Thomas Paine, I believe, in writing the pamphlet, The Crisis. December of 1776, as Revolutionary War was starting, going through one of their first difficult winters without shoes. Their shoes were wearing out and traipsing through the snow and leaving a trail of blood from their feet behind. He wrote, "These are times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine recruit, however he said it, I don't remember the exact wording, in this time of adversity, they'll faint. They'll fall by the wayside. This isn't the time for the sunshine soldier. This battle that we're in, the battle for our souls, is not just for the sunshine soldier. Not just for the one when things are going well. I make a start for the Lord. This thing is not about, this isn't a sprint, it's an endurance run. It's not about how I start, it's about how I finish. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." This says so much, to be able to start in a thing and continue steadfast until the end. That I not be shaken, that I not lose interest, that I not start in and the first time I face some adversity, I fall by the wayside. I've enlisted in the service till I die. Is that our resolve? Is that our determination even in the face when I'm walking, so to speak, through the snow, when the battle's been going on for a long time? Lord help that my resolve would not falter. I'd like to relate the story of two young men, Douglas Monroe and Mike Cooley. Were two young men that were childhood friends in Clallam, Washington. They did a lot together. They spent their childhood days together. They went to school together, small town, graduated together. And in that time, the late 30s, early 40s, their paths took a different course. As they graduated from high school, Mike was enlisted in the Army, went off to serve in the Army. Doug was enlisted in the United States Coast Guard. And he served there as the signalman in the Coast Guard. And the Marines began to enlist the Coast Guard to help. Many people don't realize the role that the Coast Guard played. But in many of the amphibious landings or the beach landings, they wanted those that could navigate the small boats to be able to get in and drop the troops off on the beach. And so they wanted to be able to use people such as Doug that had learned to be able to navigate these small boats. And Doug was in a place and a time that they needed him in the South Pacific. Battle of Guadalcanal was a hot, disease-infested jungle island. The Japanese had gone and started to establish an airfield, a base there to be able to launch from, and the Allies realized that we can't allow this to happen. And so they sent in a group of Marines and Doug and a few of the other boats. They went in and dropped off the Marines, and they very quickly realized we're into more here than what we bargained for. There's more enemy fire here than what we expected. Coming in, the boats had already withdrawn and to a rally point out in the sea, and the men there, as they started realizing the intensity of the enemy fire, they started, there was a bombing campaign over them, and all the gunfire from the jungle, they spelled out on the beach, "Help. Come rescue us." And so the call went forth, "We need somebody to try to go back in and rescue these Marines and pull them out, or every one of them's going to lose their life." Doug Monroe was a signalman first class. And I don't understand the hierarchy of the class that well, but it's not very high. It was one that it wasn't really, wouldn't have even been considered his duty. But he heard the need. He heard the call and he said, "I'll go." And so he went, and a few of the other boats that he led back, now under intense enemy fire, and he led those boats up to the beach to the Marines that were so glad to see them. Started loading them up under enemy fire, and Doug realized that he needed to be able to cause a break in the enemy fire for them to be rescued. So he positioned his boat in between the enemy fire and the beachhead where the Marines were being loaded, and he took enemy fire, and he was killed. And in his last dying breath, he said, "Did they make it? Were they able to get loaded?" That was his... You know, heroism is not made of those that go in saying, "I think I'm going to become a hero. I think I want to make a hero of myself and make a name for myself." But it is of those that abide faithful. Those that faithfully do the things that they know they're given to do. And whenever hardship comes, whenever that situation arises, they're there. Think of a song that says, "When calls the voice of duty, be never lacking there." Isaiah said, whenever the Lord sent the call, who will go? Who's willing to go? I need someone that's willing to be used of me. He said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." And so Doug said that he is to this day remembered and revered, although he was Coast Guard by the Marines. Many buildings named after him, and USS Monroe that's named after him, and so forth. Because he was willing by a selfless deed. He was willing in a moment of danger, in a moment of need to forsake his own selfish interest and go position himself and give of himself for the sake of those that were in trouble and in need. And so he didn't make it back, but he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor and is the only one from the Coast Guard to have ever been awarded that honor. As they related that story of what happened, his friend, Mike Cooley, years later, grown up together, went off and served in the Army. He came back and he had survived the war. But he was deeply moved by what he heard of what his friend had done. He had given his life. He didn't survive. He didn't return. And Mike did. And he was so moved by that, he went and he visited the graveside there of his friend, Doug. He was brought back and buried in a cemetery there in Clee Ellum, Washington. He went and visited that old tattered flag that flew over the grave, no light on it, and he said, "This isn't good enough." And so as protocol is, he said, "We can't let darkness fall on this flag. It doesn't do honor to what my friend did here. It doesn't give honor to the sacrifice that he made." And he was so moved by that he walked. He lived about 3 miles away from the cemetery. And he walked those 3 miles in the morning. And he had raised that flag so that it would fly over the graveside of Doug Monroe. Walked back home, go to work. That evening before dark would fall, he'd make that 3-mile walk back to the gravesite again. And he would lower the flag and fold it and walk home. He did that. That's quite a sacrifice if you think about it. And as I heard this story, I was as moved by the story of what Mike did as what Doug did. 12 miles a day. Long ways to walk. But Doug did that. Made that sacrifice every day. And if I think of how long I could make that commitment, maybe a week, maybe I could set aside and make arrangements in my schedule. If nothing else is going on, if nothing else comes up, then maybe I can go do that for a week. After all, that's 12 miles a day I got to walk. I'm not taking the easy route. I'm not just going if it's convenient. But he did that for every day. Not a month, not 6 months, not a year, over 40 years. Mike would go and walk every day, 12 miles. And he didn't even advertise what he was doing. You know, you can't demand that kind of devotion of somebody. You can't order to somebody, "You be this devoted. You sacrifice of yourself to this degree." Think about what that sacrifice involved. This meant something to this man. He had a vision. He had a purpose. Remember whenever the children of Israel were cowered off in the side of a valley somewhere because of a big man that was shouting blasphemy to God? And David came in and he looked and assessed the situation and He said, is there not a cause? Isn't there something worth fighting for here? Don't you have something that makes it worth putting your life on the line? Isn't there something more here than just about convenience or your fears? You know, in our walk for the Lord, it's not about convenience. It's not about what's convenient for me to give to the Lord, but it's about this kind of devotion and dedication, that I not become weary in well-doing, the resolve that I make for the Lord, the purposes that I make to give of myself to the Lord. It's easy to make those kind of resolves in camp meeting, and thank the Lord we should. But I want to encourage us to be as Mike was. If Mike could do that kind of thing for a friend that gave his life, should not we for a Savior that gave his life for us? Since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? Should I not have that kind of resolve and determination? Whenever the going gets tough, I don't stop. It said that Mike, the only way this came out was because the District Office of the United States Coast Guard in the late 90s received a phone call one day from a man that identified himself, said, I'm part of the VFW in Cle Elum, Washington, and I'd like to request that the Coast Guard would erect a new flag and a light that would shine on it. Because he said, I'm getting old now. I'm almost 90. I'm afraid I'm not going to be around very long. And I don't know if there will be anyone else to do what I've been doing. They said, well, what have you been doing? Well, I've been taking the flag down, striking colors, putting the flag back up in the mornings. I said, Mike, how long have you been doing that? Well, over 40 years. He didn't do it for his glory. He didn't do it to be recognized, nor do we in our walk with the Lord. It's got to go beyond doing it because of people's recognition for what I'm doing. They're going to realize my faithfulness. They're going to look and they're going to realize, folks, there's not a whole lot of glory sometimes in being faithful Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday night. I'm going to be there. I'm going to fill my spot with a song, with a testimony, being faithful. It's not about those that say, I'm going to make a big name. I'm going to be recognized. I'm going to do something great for the Lord. But really, it's about those that are willing to say, week after week, day after day, when I'm not feeling well. We heard last night about excuses. Do you think Mike would have had some excuses in 42 years to ever have an excuse to say, you know, nobody even knows I'm doing this. Nobody's even seen. It's not going to hurt one day to go. But he was faithful to his post of duty. As the word began to come out, his children reflected on it and said, we never knew what he was doing. We just thought Dad was just something he did. We'd always seen Dad do it in the mornings around sunrise. Dad would leave, be gone for a while. In the evening, he'd go again. We never knew. We just thought he was visiting the cemetery. They, looking back, said, you know, there were three times that I drove Dad to the cemetery. And it was almost as if Mike felt bad about this. You know why he asked to be driven to the cemetery? Because he had pneumonia. Excuses? I'm sick. Surely my friend would understand. Surely if ever I have an excuse, it's now to stay home, to keep the covers pulled up. It rains in Washington. It rains a lot. It snows in Washington. Whenever the snow's deep, wouldn't that be an excuse? I think I'll just stay in today. You know how easy it is in our lives to start out with a purpose and a resolve? Folks, I've been one that I've thought before in my life, I want to do this. I want to do this for the Lord. Oh, it'd be great if we could go out and walk around in the community and knock on doors and do all this. It'd be great if I could do that every Sunday. It's easy to do that for about two Sundays. And guess what? Something comes up And then it's not convenient, or Lord help us, I lose interest. That burning desire that I had when the Lord stirred my heart, whenever I saw a need, whenever I recognized something needs to be done here, you know, it can be easy for us to be stirred up to say, I want to do that. I want to give myself. But how easy is it for us also, 2 months later, when I'm sick, when I'm not feeling well? Folks, I don't know about you, but do you always feel like jumping and shouting and rejoicing on Wednesday when you wake up and realize it's prayer meeting night tonight? Praise the Lord! I get to go to prayer meeting tonight. I haven't always felt like that. I haven't always felt like there's nothing else I have to do. I'm going to go to prayer meeting. You know, I can't think of very many times that I haven't been very glad I went. That I haven't whenever I go anyway. I got a lot to do, but I'm going to go anyway. I'm not feeling the bad. I understand we can't always, things come up. You have excuse versus making excuses, you heard. But I want to have something here. I was stirred. I was challenged as I heard this story of Mike. Lord, if he could do it for the cause that he did it for, Lord, help me to be steadfast. Help me, Lord, with the resolve that I make for you, that I not lose interest, that I not lose some of my zeal. Jesus said, I believe, the 24th chapter of Matthew, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold over a process, over the course of time. Their love, the fervency of it, the desire of it, to where now it's not just by feeling, it's not just because Mike felt like getting up and going and raising the flag in the morning, but I've got a sense of duty, and I'm going to stand by it. There's something that I've committed to. I don't want the sacrifice that he's made to go unrespected and unnoticed. Lord, help us. In spite of doubt or feeling, God's Word will take us through that we have that kind of determined resolve. Believe some of the danger that we face today is not just being overwhelmed by the force of the enemy, but I believe it is our love, our determination. I believe it is, as Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? It is in us maintaining the flame, keeping it hot, keeping it going, maintaining my desire for the Lord. It's about, think of Jesus. Even he felt the same kind of weariness that we feel. Remember the time that John the Baptist was beheaded? The word was brought back to Jesus, and you imagine the feelings, the emotions. I just want to get away for a little while. And he did. And he tried to go and get apart in a place to pray and to spend some time alone. And he gets there, and there's a multitude of people. And he ministered to them, having compassion. Times whenever Jesus says would steal apart into the mountaintop throughout the night to pray. I need something to give me strength. I need something. I'm getting weary. I'm getting worn. I'm getting tired here. Folks, this battle is not just won by our resolve at the start, but it's won by our determination to keep on going. It's won by the times that I face myself. And self says, I don't want to go on. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going tonight. I don't feel like I'm not seeing the fruit of it. We live in a time that people want instant gratification. I want to see the fruit of what I'm doing right now. Even in building projects. I enjoy remodeling projects and all, but I like doing things that I see a big impact in a short amount of time. If I'm painting, I hate that cut-in work. You do so much work and you can hardly even tell when you're done that you've done anything. I'd rather give me a big 18-inch roller and 10 minutes later I got the whole wall painted. And I can see a difference, and I don't have to expend my energy for a long period of time. Lord, help us though that we not be that way spiritually. I do something and I want to immediately be rewarded for it. I give of myself and I expect to be rewarded with great blessing and filling, but that I am resolved to carry on regardless because it's the right thing to do. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't allow your resolve to falter. What did the last part of the verse say? For in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. If you come to the end, to the rewarding time, and I haven't lost my determination, I haven't somewhere along the way said, oh, well, I've done this so many years, and what difference is it making? You think Noah ever wondered those kind of things? Believe it's somewhere around 100, 120 years? You think the time ever came up? Noah said, what am I doing this for? Lord, I know, and I'm going on this strength. I know you told me back then that a flood's coming. You told me to, in obedience to do this. Lord, that was 40 years ago. I haven't seen a drop of rain. I faced ridicule. I faced people mocking me and scoffing me. Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of hearing it. I don't have an answer to give them. Besides, the Lord said so, and they don't believe you anyway. Lord, but he kept on. He was faithful, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It will be our sure salvation, standing firm. This is our salvation. It's not just in how I start out in a sprint. I started out to do the right thing. But folks, the determination for every one of us of our salvation, do I continue on? Do I carry on in the face of adversity? Or do I lose faith? Do I lose courage? Do I go back to the well and draw more water to keep going on? Or do I lose my bearings? Do I lose that sense, that vision of a purpose that I have? Something that I'm fighting for. I don't feel it now. I don't get the fulfillment of what I'm doing. We don't live for that that's seen anyway. But that is unseen. For that which is seen is temporal. It passes away. That instant gratification, it's there and it's gone. As the Pharisees said, they did all these things in working for the Lord to be seen of men, to get their praise, to get their recognition. They have their reward. That's the extent of it. You have your moment of glory and it's gone. But to be able to faithfully do that even when nobody's seeing, when nobody's watching, when nobody's there to pat me on the back, when nobody's there to tell me, oh, I appreciate you, I think so much of you, that I just keep on doing it anyway. Because there's one that died for me. And I wonder how many times Mike, as he was walking through the bitter cold and all alone to that lonely cemetery and going through the form of what he did every day, I wonder how many times he had to remind himself, this man died that I might live. This man gave the ultimate sacrifice. Surely I can do this one more time. Surely because of what he did, since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine to think also of the song, I ought to love my Savior? What heart could e'er withhold a love that cost so dearly, the offering of thy soul? When I look at that and I remind myself of that, when the feelings aren't there, when the emotion isn't there, when the desire begins to wane, then I remember, Lord, you gave your life for me. You gave the ultimate sacrifice for my salvation. By faith I carry on. In spite of doubt and feeling and all that I have to encounter and struggle within myself, I'm going to carry on. I'm going to be faithful. And so, I want to challenge us today. Lord, help us to be constant. Lord, help us that we not weary, that I not swerve out of the way over the course of time. I'd like to close in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 35th verse. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't cast away your confidence. There's a great recompense of reward. There's a great repayment. There's a time coming if we'll be faithful and abide steadfast and constant and not be moved and swayed and changed. There will be reward. You know, you don't always feel like reading and praying, do you? Maybe I should speak for myself. I don't always, when I get up, whenever I have a moment, think, oh, that's the first thing I'd want to do. That's the only thing I want to do. Sometimes I have to do it in spite of how I feel. Sometimes I don't feel like getting down and praying. Sometimes I don't feel like doing the things that I know how to do. But there's great recompense and rewards, folks. If we'll continue, if we'll abide faithful in that which the Lord has given us. For Noah, there was a boat waiting for him when the rains began to fall. For us, we'll be able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If we'll abide faithful, whenever I do the things that I know I need to do, whenever I abide constant, I'm willing to go to service when I don't feel like going to service. I'm willing to pray when I don't feel like praying. There is a reward. I may not get the fulfillment of it in filling in. But you know what happens? If faithfully you read and pray, there's growth. There's development. Whenever I go through the battles and I'm wondering what's it all for, I don't know why I'm still holding in here. I don't see the fruit of it if we'll abide faithful. There is recompense and reward. Yes, at the end, but also in this life. Things and blessings the Lord has for us. If we want a depth in the Lord today, it doesn't come by us just starting out, by us having good intentions, by us thinking this is what I ought to do, and I want, and I've known of folks that seem like they get stirred up in a meeting or a message, and I want to go work for the Lord. I want to do something. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go. Let's go to the nursing home. Let's go do this. Let's go knock on some doors. It seems like I've never seen the crowd the same size the second time as the first time. And the third time as the second time. Why? What happens? Somehow my resolve, my determination, my desire begins to ebb. It begins to wear out. And that's the challenge to us this morning. Be not weary in well-doing. Continue faithful. Abide faithful in those things that the Lord has for us to do. Whenever it's about consecration of ourselves and our all to the Lord. When I recognize what the Lord's done for me, Lord, I want to consecrate and sanctify myself to You and give myself. But it's about not only there, but every day. When I die daily to myself and my desires and my own selfish ambitions, whenever the tough times come, whenever I face the enemy fire, now do I still want to work for the Lord? Do I still want to keep charging forward when now I'm getting enemy fire? Wait a minute, I thought people were supposed to recognize the good that I'm doing. And now they're shooting at me. Do I continue faithful? Do I continue under fire, under adverse circumstances? Cast not away your confidence. There's great recompense of reward. If you faint not, you'll receive the reward. You'll receive the repayment for everything that you've done. For all our faithfulness, week in, week out, day in, day out, at times when I wondered, what's it all for? When I continue faithful, I believe those words, "well done," will explain it all. Will repay everything that I've had to do. You pray for me. I want to be faithful to the Lord. Amen.